Hello, you're listening to Reading Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined today by Trader Sam's best friends, JJ and Sean.
Noted. I stand by that.
If you have a good title for my co-host after listening to this episode, please send in your ideas to readygeeks@gmail.com. In today's episode, we introduce a new segment titled Behind the Geeks, where we take a deep dive into the Disney history of our co-hosts, starting with JJ. So in this new segment, Behind the Geeks, we're going to take an episode and shine the spotlight on each of us as co-hosts. The first person we decide to shine the spotlight on is our executive producer, JJ.
Okay, so I guess I'm a little bit of a guinea pig here. I'll start off by saying that the Disney parks has been something that's been ingrained in my family for a long time. My first visit was in 1991. And if you count both resorts in the U.S., I've been to Disney upwards of 16 to 18 times. I've been to Disneyland 5 or 6 times. I've been to Disney World 11 times. So that's 16. And that's trips, not like days. It's their actual trips. So I'm pretty well versed in all aspects from being a little kid. And it's a place that my family, it's interesting because I always thought that Disney would be a place that was just something that I enjoyed with my family. It would be a place that we would gather and celebrate some milestones. I've celebrated my grandparents' anniversaries there. I've celebrated my mother's birthdays there. We kind of use some of these big events as a way to gather and celebrate something and make something feel really special and nostalgic. And I have tons of memories associated with my family there. As I got older, really, the thing that changed everything is we all went together in 2010. It was like we did a winter break thing instead of a spring break thing because we all went to different colleges. We had different breaks. So we couldn't do the traditional, you know, senior year spring break trip. We wanted to do one with each other because we had known each other from high school and earlier. And we wanted to have that same spring break experience. And we ended up going down to Disney all together. And that's really where my eyes were opened up to, oh, wait, Disney as an adult, Disney as someone that is of legal drinking age.
Yeah.
It's a really fun, cool thing to do that's so much more than grabbing a beer at the cart at Six Flags. Like, it's so different than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that has slowly ramped up to the point where I wanted to start this podcast and talk about the parks more and look for more excuses to go and share this with more people. So I would say, let's start at the beginning. We'll talk about my very first trip in 1991. I'll tell you that it is my first memories that I have in my head come from that trip. I cannot imagine that I know anything before then. I was only 3, but I still have some of those memories. So if you're a parent that's thinking, oh, it was my 3-year-old, I'm pretty sure I still actually remember some of the stuff. I have 2 distinct memories, and one is I was in the parks and my grandparents showed up and we went on some of the rides. And then we went back to the pool and I was pretending to be the crocodile from Peter Pan because we rode the Peter Pan ride that day. And then the other one that sticks out in my head and the distinct memory of it is really hazy and kind of blends into all these other times that I've been on stage as a child because I was always the kid that got picked to go on stage for stuff. I don't know if they just saw me and knew that I was just like a needy middle child or
we can
what
get
it
this
was.
Guy.
We can make this kid do whatever we want. He needs the spotlight. I don't know if it was that. Maybe I have main character energy. I don't know. But I was always a kid that got picked for that stuff. Like, you know, I know we don't talk about Universals, a little bit of a Voldemort situation. But I've been slimed. I've been on... So I was on stage at Hootie Doo Review when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
And I think you guys will see a picture of that in the episode post. Yeah. My mother does have a picture of that, which she's kindly lent me a little photo book that she has. And, oh, so on that trip, just to stay within the one trip, a funny story happened. Really, I don't remember this at all, but my mother tells this story pretty well. We were on Pirates of the Caribbean, and my grandparents, my dad, they all had a kid. It was all adult kid. And they took all the adults were sitting on one side of the boat and all the kids were sitting on the other side of the boat. And the boat got stuck. And everyone's wondering, well, why is the boat stuck? Why is the boat stuck? So this is strange. Like, we're just stuck in front of this one scene. And then a voice comes in over the intercom. Move over. And then they had to just shift their weight because all the boat was so lopsided from all the adults sitting on one side of the boat that the boat was scraping the bottom of the water.
Wow. Wow. So put the kids on either end and have the adults in the middle.
Weight distribution.
Even weight distribution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they might have fixed that a little bit.
Right, since then.
Yeah. Maybe the boat.
That was your impact on Disney World. It was that.
Yeah.
See, Disney World. They realized they had to fix that.
Disney World's affected me, and I've affected Disney.
Here we go. Soar into tower. We are ready for takeoff. Look alive.
All right. So to get to know JJ a little bit better, we're going to start with some fast questions.
Fast? How fast is fast?
Fast. Okay. Fast.
Lightning lane fast.
Not fast pass fast. Lightning lane fast.
Not premiere pass fast?
Not premiere pass fast.
Oh, premiere pass fast is probably the fastest I could just, but then I'd have to only say one thing one time.
Right, you can't go back.
I can't go back.
You have to spend $400.
All right, so what's your favorite park?
Epcot.
Favorite attraction?
That flip-flops, but I will say Rise of the Resistance until I get back on it.
Favorite resort?
Polynesian.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say Port Orleans.
I do love New Orleans, but I can go to New Orleans.
Yeah, that's a good point.
A lot easier than you can go to the Polynesian Islands.
Yeah. Favorite transportation?
Oh, monorail.
That's the correct answer. Favorite sit-down restaurant?
You know what? I'm going to throw something. I know I talk about a lot of stuff all the time, but I think it's California Grill.
Okay. Nice. Nice. Favorite quick service?
I don't know why my head initially went to Ronto Wraps.
Okay.
That's more of a... I don't know if that's... Does that count as
a quick service?
Yeah, it's a quick service. Yeah.
Maybe Ronto.
Everything you have to mobile order nowadays anyway, but it's still quick service.
Yeah.
The contenders are Ronto Wraps, the quick service in Animal Kingdom, the Pandora one,
yeah.
The Sintuli Canteen,
Sintuli. Yep.
And the French Bakery.
Okay.
Those are my top three.
Okay.
Now, this is important. This is a very specific question,
okay.
One that requires a lot of thought.
Okay.
Favorite bar?
It's Trader Sam's.
It's your best friend. Your best friend, Trader Sam.
My best friend, Trader Sam. Let's not go into his policies and practices on worker... conditions, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And,
we don't talk about that stuff.
The Jungle Cruise? Or...
Yeah.
Now, these don't have to be as quick. You can, you know,
yeah.
That was a rapid fire. You know, your favorite this, favorite that, favorite this.
Chippendale. All right, so you're spending a day in the park. If you had to pick one character you know you can meet, who's your favorite character to meet in the park?
I'm not a big character meet and greet guy right now. Being a grown man, it feels really, really awkward. But it is nice to get, like, a couple picture with the man himself, Mr. Mouse, Mickey. So I guess I'll say that just for this. When I was a kid, I was probably a goofy guy, for sure.
You're still a goofy guy.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, how about if a tip or trick, your number one tip to give people?
I mean, that depends. It's a pretty loaded question. But I, you know, I've said this on the show, but I'll say it again. My number one tip is, if you're an Ohana person, an Ohana family, try Sebastian's. Try Sebastian's at Caribbean Beach. It's very similar. I mean, similar in terms of it's a good meal, but it's a lot cheaper. It doesn't have the noodles. Doesn't have, you know, the sides are very different, but it's still like meat forward and has bread pudding at the end. And the bread pudding in both places are still kind of the stars of the show.
Yeah, yeah. And it's easier to get to now with the Skyliner.
Right, and Skyliner access. It's a really nice way to end the Hollywood Studios day.
Sixth best ride.
Of course, he's plugging the Skyliner.
Oh, yeah, my interview, he's bogarting it for the Skyliner.
Welcome aboard, folks.
All right, so you've been to Disney World, you said 16 to 18 times?
Yeah. If you count land and world, yeah.
So you've got a lot of experience. You've seen a lot of things. Over time, what do you think some of the best and worst changes are in the parks?
Well, the best changes overall really have been the quality of the rides and the quality of the immersion environments. Yeah. You know, if you look at what Fantasyland used to look like, it's like circus tents. And that passed for immersive theming in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, now if Disney opened a land like the original Fantasyland,
it would be ridiculed,
skewered.
Yeah.
So I think most of what they've done really well, and they keep doing a really good job of just world-class rides. I don't think, you know, the Rise of Resistance is outstanding. Guardians of the Galaxy is outstanding. So they keep raising that bar of what a good ride should be. And almost all the disappointments have been, if you look at Tron and to some people Remy, those are just ported over rides from the foreign parks.
Yeah.
Those aren't new rides.
Right.
So
yeah,
I think overall, the best thing Disney does is the theming. And then I will also say that in general, the rides keep getting better. They keep raising the bar on that.
What about the worst?
The worst change. There's a lot of things that could qualify as worst change. Just how phone reliant you are through the day, that the MDE app is not easy enough to use to warrant being on it, because you're stuck on it. You're stuck looking at the phone for too much of the day. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you should have to give them an extra $400 a day to not look at your phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
There needs to be some sort of medium in between where you can still experience some of the, you know, Lightning Lane features without having to be so reliant on having one member of your party just being the phone guy.
Phone guy.
What's your favorite skip the line of all time? Like going into history too.
My favorite system?
Yeah.
My favorite system is what Disneyland had.
Max Pass.
Yes, yeah. When you could, it was the paper Fast Pass, but on your phone. Mm-hmm. So it was the same. So if you had a phone and you paid, you'd pay in to have phone access to schedule your things, or you still had the free paper fast pass.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to bop around the park to fast pass it and then go do what you wanted to do.
And you could only have one at one time, right?
This was one at a time.
Yeah.
It was very simple. It worked just like paper fast pass. But it was like, if you had a hopper, you could hop back and forth. You could be physically in California Adventure and book a ride in Disneyland and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And you would just go back and forth, and it was really amazing experience. And I don't know why logistically that
can't happen.
Can't
again,
work, yeah. And why Lightning Lane became so convoluted and weird and hard to manage.
Well, so bringing that up, are you a park hopper guy?
No, not really. I've found, I used to be, especially when park hopper was cheaper. In Disneyland, of course you're going to hop because it's the same place. But Disney World, which is the focus of this, not really. I get a lot of enjoyment out of fully exploring, like even Animal Kingdom, which, you know, there's not too much in terms of attractions there, but there's a lot of nice stuff to see and do. I get a lot of enjoyment as I've gotten older, you know, exploring the little spaces. I like going to the bar and people watching and all that. Like that's a new layer of enjoyment for me.
It'd be nice to do that with a VIP tour.
If you had your choice and you could bring back any ride in the history of Walt Disney World, what would it be?
So there's three contenders. And I'll just tell you the one that I decided on. It's going to be the original version of the Figment ride.
Yeah, because I want to
see.
That's a good one.
I want to see what the fuss is about because that ride is garbage. And I know with the Dreamfinder and all this other stuff, it was supposed to be a very different experience. And what I've heard the ride was, and there's some interesting stuff with like. Turntables and there's a lot of extra functions that they just deleted.
Yeah.
They like completely rerouted the ride. The ride is shorter than it was. It used to be a longer experience.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see what that would have looked like in A mode.
What were the other two? Just quick.
Seeing Dinosaur back in A mode.
Yeah.
One more time, like completely A mode Dinosaur. The last one is the original Snow White ride, the scary one.
Yeah, well, that's a good one. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Those are the three that came to my mind. But I think Figment, I want to see why people are so upset about the Figment.
Boys, watch your manners.
Yeah, if you can't say something nice.
Boys.
Okay, so... How about any other experience at Walt Disney World that you missed out on that you wish you could have done, like that's not there anymore? Like I'm thinking of like, you know how they had a wave machine in front of the Polynesian? You could go surfing in front of the Polynesian.
Oh, yeah, but that's not for me.
Really?
Yeah. It only lasted like 2 years and then they realized it was roading the beaches.
Okay. I want to experience River Country.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
River.
That's a good one.
Or Discovery Island again. Those are the two.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that I'm thinking about with this.
When you're exploring the parks, exploring the resorts, you need a break. What's your favorite spot to just hang out, catch a beat, people watch?
Okay, so I will say at Magic Kingdom, it's leaving the park and going to one of the bars, either... You know,
can I suggest Geyser Point?
There you go. But also, I could suggest the bar at Steakhouse 71 and have a cheeseburger over there.
That was a great time.
We had a great time.
You went to Steakhouse 71?
Yeah. Nice. It was a great time. We just sat in the bar at Steakhouse 71. They had the TVs on. We watched some baseball, and I had a burger. We had a couple drinks.
Yeah.
That's actually a good thing to know that they have TVs there, too.
Yeah.
That's good. Wow.
Any seasonal events you prefer?
Oh, yeah. So my favorite one is the one in Epcot where they do the topiaries, the
Flower and Garden.
Yeah. Flower and Garden is the best thing that I've seen, although I've never been to Disney World during Christmas time, and it's on my bucket list.
You have?
No, we were there for one day, and it went away that same night. Remember, we were there one day, and there was snow on the castle and stuff, and then the next day it was gone.
Huh.
They don't do that ice on the castle anymore anyway. But man, so you've never been to...
I've never done a full where each park had Christmas stuff up.
Yeah.
I've done
Halloween the most. I've gone in the fall or like the very end of summer into the fall the most. So I've always seen the Halloween decorations.
I've seen the Halloween decorations, and I've seen the Halloween decorations at Disneyland as well. But I also I never did Christmas at Disneyland either.
Hmm. That's interesting.
I did get to do the haunted mansion and the
I was gonna say that would be a shame if you spent 3 years out.
And what's funny enough, that is the trip, the time I went to Disneyland with Sam, it was the Nightmare Before Christmas one.
Yeah. All right. How about a unique experience?
Okay, I have a lot of unique experiences.
Okay.
Going on vacation and Disney in general. Like I said, I was the kid that always got called on stage. I also have a lot of weird experiences. I was in Disney for my grandparents' anniversary. It was their 55th wedding anniversary, and they took everyone down, and we're at Disney Springs, and a security guard comes up to me and my mom. We're like talking to him for a little bit, and he goes, oh, you're celebrating your parents, like to my mom, you're celebrating your parents' wedding anniversary. How many people are you with? And blah, blah, blah. And talking to her. And before he's like, oh, before I go, here. And it's fast passes for every single person in our group to go on any ride.
Wow.
And then.
What year was that?
That was 2006.
Yes. I wonder if that was part of like the Year of Magical Dreams or something.
Yeah, it must have been.
Something like
it
that.
It had to be part of that because I have not experienced anything else like that since.
Do you know if that would happen today with social media, people would be going up to those people being like, you know, trying to fake a...
Fast pass, please.
money, please. But they would be going up to these people trying to be like, you know, oh, like make a fake organic conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Another unique moment I had was, when I was 5, I was on Splash Mountain and I got evac'd off of it because I got stuck on the lift hill. So they took us off and we got to walk down the lift hill and around, we were in the Laughing Place and we got to see some of that, like, you know, you're just like walking on right next to it. It was so cool.
That's awesome.
And I will always remember that. And for a long time, even though I didn't get to experience the good part of that ride that time, I'd already been on it.
Yeah.
But that time, I think I went multiple times that trip on that ride. But that was my favorite ride in Magic Kingdom for a pretty long time. And I think seeing some of the behind the scenes stuff, like, made me like it a little more, even than other rides.
It was special for you.
Yeah, it was special because I got that little bit of a unique experience there. I got to, you know, go behind the curtain there. It was really cool.
Everybody's got a laughing place. Maybe this one is yours.
Money's not an issue. You've been given a blank check. What does the framework of your dream vacation look like?
At Disney.
At Disney, my framework of a dream vacation at Disney is probably staying at a resort that haven't stayed at in a really, really nice room. Maybe Riviera or Grand Flow because I haven't stayed at either of those. And there would definitely be a VIP tour.
Yeah.
Absolutely would be a VIP tour. You know, you do 2 days of VIP tour and you do a day at Epcot where you just chill and drink and, you know, you get lunch at the Beer Garden and dinner at La Celia and you leave right on time to watch the fireworks. Oh, speaking of fireworks, you would do, I would do one of those, which I've done before. I would do a dessert party where you get the good viewing of the Magic Kingdom fireworks.
Yeah.
I did that one time. I did that in 2021. Sam's family took me on their vacation, and I bought them that as a thank you.
That's a nice thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, how about sticking with this money, not an issue, line of thinking? What DVC resort would you buy if money was not an issue?
Maybe Polly. Polly or Grinflow. Just the monorail access and not contemporary.
Yeah. And now with the island tower, it's really, it's going to
right,
be
really
nice.
Right, that's what I mean. Nice. Yeah. Probably Polynesian. Yeah.
Okay. So Bob Iger calls you up.
Uh-huh.
And he hires you to fix the parks.
What's the pay like?
This is pro bono work.
He pays you in DVC points.
Inexperience?
Inexperience, yeah.
Can he pay me in Trident layers?
You're an unpaid intern that has power. So what are you going to do on day one? What changes would you make immediately?
I mean, it's hard to say what you could do day one that would, like, change everything really positively. And could implement quickly, but maybe I would bring back the magical transport. That's probably pretty easy to get up and running.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something you could start that on day one, at least make the decision. Hey, yeah, we're doing this.
You could probably get that started within a month.
Cause
all the other stuff that I'm thinking of, like, revamp a menu, like other easy stuff, which actually they kind of just did with, they just revamped Pecos Bills, and apparently Pecos Bills has good food now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, that stuff I feel like would take longer than 30 days. You have to, like, find a new chef and test all this out.
Well, I mean, this isn't really based in reality.
Like we're thinking way too hard into this.
I'm thinking too much about this.
Yeah, you're thinking too much about this. Well, what would you want to
If you could snap
change?
Your fingers, what's one thing you would do?
Okay, Kool-Aid out of the Warfounds.
Idiocracy. I like, though, the magical... what was it called in?
Magical Express.
That was a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, or I would just tell people that the Monsters, Inc. roller coaster is going where Launch Bay is, and Muppets 3D is saved. That's the other thing I would do. And then that I could announce on day one.
Yes, make that
decision. I could make
decision.
That announcement on day one and make that decision. Muppets Courtyard is safe. As a matter of fact, we're adding more Muppets there.
Great movie ride by the Muppets.
Right. The Muppets great. We're going to say so long to Star Tours and Indiana Jones, and it's all going to be Muppets.
No, it's going to be the same rides. It's just Muppets.
Yeah, no, it'll be Muppets Star Tours.
Muppets Star Tours.
Oh, gosh. Maybe Bean could set off the fireworks.
A family is coming who has never been to Walt Disney World before. What is one thing they need to do?
We'll start with, they got to go to the Magic Kingdom. They got to get a picture in front of the castle. They got to go on Haunted Mansion. They got to go on Pirates.
You do think that you would send them to Magic Kingdom?
For a family? They've never been?
Where else are they going?
It's got to be.
He's going, send them to Baseline Tap House.
I just feel like Epcot is so unique. You know what I mean?
It's Disney.
But this is Disney World.
Yeah. It's a family with kids
right.
who's coming, and they've never been before. You're going to send them to Epcot.
They've never been to Magic Kingdom before, but they maybe could go to Disneyland. They could go to Hong Kong Disney.
You're thinking too much into it again.
The Magic Kingdom is very similar to all of those other castle parks.
I read this question as a family is coming to Disney World that has never been there before.
Yeah.
Right.
And never will.
Right.
Go back again.
So you're not going to send them to the Magic Kingdom.
Well, because maybe they've been to a different castle park.
That's not in the question, though.
A family
is coming to Walt Disney World who has been to Disneyland Paris, who has been to Shanghai Disney, who has been to Disneyland, California.
What is unique about Disney, though? Or Disney World? What is unique about Disney World?
Magic Kingdom, the castle.
What? I don't know. You're right in comparison to people that have been to other Disney parks, but you're really gonna send these people on a trip where they're going to come home and be like, oh my God, you went to Disney for a day. Can I see a picture? And they go, yeah, sure. And they go, you know the first thing you're going to say? Where are you guys in front of the castle?
Where's the
picture of the whole family in front of the castle? You haven't been to Disney World unless you get a picture of your family in
front
of
the castle. It's a picture of us with Stitch at the entrance to Epcot.
Okay, so I think this is our last question we have. What place does Disney have in your relationship with Sam, your fiance?
Okay. I think we have an interesting relationship with Disney. She loves the parks when she's there, but she's not a nerd about this or just about anything.
She's not a geek.
Yeah, she's not interested in nerding out over what's going to happen with this, what's going to happen with that.
That's what you have us for.
Yeah, exactly. She loves the parks when she's there, but when she's not there, she's good for at least a year. She doesn't get any sort of tug to go back.
Mm-hmm.
She's not like, oh, when's our next trip back when you get back? Like, right. I do. Like, I get that. Like, as soon as I'm home, I'm like, when are we going back?
Yeah.
How can I parlay this into more? She's like, that was really great. I had a lot of fun. And then a year or two years go by. She goes, like, she'll see something online and she'll be like, oh, I didn't know they opened this thing. Like, this looks really cool. We should go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've been 3 times together. Once was just me and her in Disneyland. And then 2 other times, once was with my family and once was with her family. And she's definitely starting to feel the tug to come back. The only reason why we didn't, she was starting a new job this year.
You're getting married this year.
We're getting married and, you know, apparently these things
technically
will
cost money.
Next year.
Oh. That's actually, it's next year you're getting married.
It's the next fiscal year.
Calm down, Rover. I was only kidding.
So I know I've been talking basically this whole time, but I think I want to keep talking. Do we have time for a game?
Yeah, we got time for a game.
Always.
All right. Okay, guys. This is a return of a fan favorite, a little game called the Word Association Matching Game, a.k.a. Match 5. This game is pretty easy. One of us will pick a prompt and become the prompt master. And then you're going to write down 5 things that you think of that you associate with that. For everything that you match in common with the prompt master, you get a point and the prompt master gets a point. The person with the most points after each of us have taken a turn being the prompt master wins.
So from what I remember the last time, when you're the prompt master, you need to get as many points as you can. Like that's your time to
get
catch
five.
Up. Yeah.
Yep. It's your easiest way to get 5 points.
Okay.
And the prompt master can't get more than 5 points.
Correct.
Right.
That's exactly right. Andrew, why don't you start us off and be the prompt master first, and then we'll just continue around.
So I'm going to pick Frontierland. All right. Ready? Let's go. Let's do it. Oh, so I go. Right. So I'm going to start, and
yes.
Then you guys tell me if that's what you have,
right.
if you have one of those. Okay. My first one is the shooting arcade.
No. That kept crossing that off and putting something else on.
I was going back and forth between the shooting arcade or the DVC lounge.
Okay, cool.
That isn't built yet. All right. The Frontier Railroad Station.
I have a Disney Railroad Station.
Okay. That counts.
That's absolutely
plus
correct.
One.
I don't have it.
I have Pecos Bills.
I have Pecos Bill.
Pecos Bill.
I have Rivers of America.
Yep.
And I have Splash Mountain.
God, this is terrible. I had Big Thunder Mountain, Country Bears, and then I kept the shooting gallery, and I kept going, no, he's going to put Tiana's beignets.
Oh, I had that too. I actually had that. Had the fry shop, which I, you know.
Pecos Bill, Rivers of America, Disney Railroad Station, Big Thunder Mountain, and a riverboat.
Yeah. I just feel like...
So, did we all get 2?
I got 3.
You got 3.
I technically got 3, I guess.
What?
Pecos, Rivers of America, and the Railroad.
Yeah, you got 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Sean, why don't you be prompt master next?
Let's go with the Polynesian. Everyone's ready?
I'm ready.
My first on the list for the Polynesian, Cap'n Cooks.
Oh,
no.
Damn, no.
Does that mean I don't get a point? Or
yeah,
I get
you
a
do
point?
Not get a point.
No
you
point.
You suck.
I know.
A monorail stop.
I got the monorail.
Yeah.
Nothing for you, Jay?
No monorail.
Mm. Rum Dole Whip.
Dole Whips!
Ooh, wow.
We accept Dole Whips of any kind. Firework viewing location.
No. Hold on, JJ, you got...
Boat parade / fireworks? Those little cheesy boat things
I
that happen?
I'll take that.
My final... I feel like there's a greater chance that JJ has this on his list than Andrew does. The Beatles.
No. Oh, but that is a good one.
That is a good one. That's a good one.
I'm thinking I'm going to put
No Ohana. Trader Sam's, no Ohana, no Volcano Pool.
Nope.
Or Bungalows so or the, Kona Cafe.
Those are the ones everyone's going to have.
So well, that's many. The point. I know.
No,
this
but
is.
No, but then there's no. Then we all just get 5 points and we move on. And everyone's tied.
But here's
tied.
The thing. We still wouldn't because someone would put something crazy
yeah,
on
yeah, 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 yeah.
That's the joy of this game is that someone put something crazy. Like, I was playing this game with Sam and Sam's family. And the topic was name five puddings. And it was Christmas time, so Sam put down figgy pudding. And no one had figgy pudding.
No one's had figgy pudding. Sam, what are you doing?
It was Christmas time.
I got another three, so I'll take it.
You got three?
Monorail.
Yeah, he got three. Fireworks. I got two.
I got one.
So JJ has four. Sean has six. And Andrew has four.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do better.
And I'll bring up the rear here. It's anyone's game. It's 6-4-4. For the last one, I am going to go with Batu. So name five things you think of when you think of Batu.
I'm gonna do a little caveat here. If you're gonna put a spacecraft, you have to be specific.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got my five. Okay. Rise of the Resistance.
Yep.
Nope.
Now, this is specific. The Millennium Falcon. Not the ride. The icon.
No.
Blue Milk, a.k.a. Blue Mook.
No.
Nope.
Blue Mook! Blue Mook.
The Ronto Wrap.
Yep. I do have the Ronto Wrap.
I do have the Ronto Wrap.
Okay. And then the last one, I have Oga's Cantina.
I have Oga's. Yep.
Me too.
Okay, darn. So I got three, so JJ has seven.
Andrew got three, so Andrew has seven.
And Sean, you got
three.
And Sean wins 9-7-7.
There you go. He finally wins a game.
There we go.
He hasn't won a game before?
I don't think so. I think that's
wow. We should make a bigger deal about this.
Well, that's a good game. I like that.
You know, with that, we should just let Sean take us out for the 10th episode.
Is that
the
what victor. I get for winning?
That's yes, what you get. That's you your win. Prize.
That's what you get for winning.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Read a Geeks podcast. Like, rate, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Any questions, comments, concerns, future topic ideas, shoot us an email at readageeks@gmail.com, and you can find us on all our socials at Read a Geeks. See you next time.
All right, you know what? This was dumb. Dump it. Trash it. This was garbage.
This week's honest send-off comes courtesy of Sam from Detroit.
If you have an honest send-off that you want played at the end of one of our episodes, please submit an audio clip to us via our email address, readygeeks@gmail.com. Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast, is hosted and executive produced by Andrew Schoppe, Sean Murphy, and JJ Hefner. Music and audio engineering by JJ Hefner. Yeah.